For many Americans, Mother's Day is a time to show our all-too-human mothers that we appreciate them. But for Columbia University ecologist Shahid Naeem, Mother's Day is a time to celebrate mothering in all species of life.
Because we recognize mothering and fathering as critical to the survival of our species, and how that is common not just among all of the different races of humanity, but every single species you see, even if it's just an insect on the ground, or plants, or mushrooms growing in the forest, or the birds that are flying overhead, it's a sign that life on Earth is working.
Like other primates, a group of mammals that includes monkeys and apes, we human beings spend long periods of time gestating, then caring for our young, usually in groups. Columbia zoology professor Marina Cords, who has spent years observing groups of blue monkeys in the forests of Kenya, is often reminded of them when she sees groups of human mothers and their infants in New York City's Central Park.
Because the non-human primates you often find in situations where you have multiple infants in a group at the same time, that the mothers and infants, or sometimes caretakers with the infants, hang around together. When I see that in the park, it's exactly what I think of. Oh, there's one of those gaggles of mothers and kids hanging around together, sharing the job of watching the kids. Many pairs of eyes watching over those vulnerable youngsters at once might prevent them from being picked on by a predator or bothered, harassed by somebody in the group who's a little bit malevolent.
Unlike primate mothers, many other animal mothers do not stay around to raise their young, and there is often variation among different species of the same class of animal. Shahid Naeem says frogs offer one example.
Frogs lay their eggs and then they go away. But in the case of the gastric brooding frog, the tadpoles actually grow up in the stomach of the mother and then eventually emerge as little frogs outside of the mouth of the mother. So if you've seen pictures of this, it's very strange because they'll open up their mouth and there'll be this little frog in their mouth coming out. There are some tree frogs as well in which the tadpoles stay very close to the mother and will derive both protection and nutrition from the mother. So even among what we think of as primitive vertebrates, you'll still see some range of parental care.
Naeem says that most animal mothers protect their young in some way.
We've all admired cats picking up their offspring one by one and moving them from a place where they thought is no longer safe. Birds will wander around and pretend like they have a broken wing to try to distract the predator away from the eggs if they see a predator getting close to the eggs. We all know if you encounter a goose that's raising goslings, it's going to be very aggressive to you when it's fairly clear that the goose does not stand a chance of winning in that kind of contest, but it'll come up and try to scare you away from its offspring.
Human mothers teach their young, often by joining them in observing and interacting with the external world, then discussing it with them. Other animals do not do this. Their young learn on their own, mostly by observation and mimicry. But Professor Marina Cord says there are other clever ways that mammalian young manage to learn from their mothers, especially if they're carnivores.
There are some cases reported, for example, of large cats bringing dead antelope to their young. I think I just saw a picture of this recently, a cheetah mother bringing a dead gazelle to her cheetah cubs, and they can sort of pounce on it and kill it even though it's actually dead. So she's providing an opportunity to them in a way. So, you know, there are a few anecdotal reports like that, but actually not very many from non-human primates. You see young ones sniffing the mouths of their mothers, for example, and you wonder if they're learning what the smell of that food is that mom is consuming, and then they might recognize that when they meet that food at some point in the future. But there's nothing difficult about picking a fruit and sticking it in your mouth.
Plants have also developed ingenious maternal strategies for engendering and nurturing the next generation. And how fortunate, says Shahid Naeem, that many of those strategies nurture us, too.
Most of our food that we are eating, whether it's rice or wheat or fruits, tomatoes, cucumbers, apples, these are actually the hard work of the mother, which has very often provided lots of nutrients, lots of sort of moisture and water for them. And in many cases, the mother will actually put poisons or toxins into the outer coverings of the fruit to prevent it from being eaten. You don't want to eat a green tomato. When the tomato is ready to be eaten, or when the fruit is ready to be eaten, then it becomes edible and we seek them. In that case, the mother is actually trying to encourage us or an animal to eat the fruit so that it will then digest away all of that material, go away from the mother plant, and then deposit the seeds in a nice little pack of manure.
However you look at it, almost all life, plant and animal, owes not only its creation, but also its survival to mom. That's all the more reason we should take the time out to contemplate and celebrate motherhood all year long. I'm Adam Phillips, reporting from New York.